What's up, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of The Heralds. We are your Heralds of Pop Culture. I'm Will Wiggy.
I'm Harrison Hopkins.
And I'm Asher Wiggy.
And you want to just hop right into the news?
I do want to hippity hoppity into the news. There's a lot to talk about.
So the first one is Amber Heard will not be removed from Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom.
Why would you start the news off like that?
And the producer said they're doing what's best for the movie.
But what's best for the movie is that I think Johnny Depp should play her instead.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, basically, a lot of Johnny Depp fans, which are a lot, are boycotting the movie and not going to see it.
What's best for the movie? Her pooping on Aquaman's bed?
You know what? Maybe that will be a scene in the movie.
Oh, yeah. She's going to throw a wine bottle out.
Yeah, I think I saw something where Yaya, I think he's starting to get in shape for it. So they're starting to film.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, for real? Sick. So Black Manta is going to be, like, the main villain of this one?
It's called, like, The Lost Kingdom, right? So.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe we'll get his dad come back. I don't really know. I want Black Manta to be the main villain because I think he should have been in the first one.
I agree. Can we get a scene where Amber Heard just straight up punches Aquaman, and when he tells her he punched him, she's like, no, it wasn't a fully closed fist.
I hit you. I didn't punch you.
Will, weren't we going to do a thing where, like, if Godzilla wins, do this, if Kong wins, do this, and, like, one of the stipulations was going to be, like, if your monster loses, you have to do an episode about how, like, Amber Heard's the greatest actress of our generation?
Yeah, but I think we changed it to Ralph Boner instead.
Yeah, because that other option would have been too painful.
Oh, God, I can't imagine. We'd have to have the strongest will for that.
He also said that they're not going to submit to the whiny Johnny Depp fans.
The whiny. Is there any Amber fans? Like, besides studios, are there any, like, out there?
I don't think so. Not anymore.
Okay.
I don't know.
The other one is Cobra Kai's Sholo Maridueña has been cast as Jaime Reyes, aka Blue Beetle, in HBO Max's Blue Beetle movie.
Wait, is that the main character in Cobra Kai?
Yeah, Miguel.
Yo, Rio, perfect. Let's go.
It's another fan cast of mine that came true.
Nice. I'm excited to see this Jaime Reyes. I liked him in Cobra Kai.
Now, someone's asking if we're going to be seeing a live-action Young Justice anytime soon, but I don't think they're paying attention.
Yeah.
Like, no, think about it. HBO Max is now making a live-action Batgirl, a live-action Zatanna, and a live-action Blue Beetle. Three members of Young Justice. Me. Well, there's nothing young about this Batgirl.
Yeah, even then, I don't know. I don't really think that Young Justice really needs to have its own live-action thing. I love the show.
Well, they said that Zatanna's going to be working towards Justice League Dark.
I was going to say.
So that means Zatanna's a full-fledged adult.
I wouldn't associate Zatanna with Young Justice. She's not that young.
Well, no, they're talking like the show.
Yeah, no, I know. I'm just saying, like, the character, I wouldn't put her on the Young Justice team.
Oh, yeah, I wouldn't either. So after that, for Marvel, we got a new trailer for Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings, which we also saw in theaters the other night.
That was the new one? I don't think that was the new one.
It was.
Are you sure? Because that was the one with Abomination at the end, and the new one did not have Abomination at the
very end. That was an extended Abomination clip, though, at the end of that. It was, like, a few more seconds of it.
It was the new one.
Are you sure? Because it was that was the second trailer. There was a third trailer that came out. That's the one you're talking about.
Yeah, I thought I had Abomination as well.
No.
Yeah, I know there's a trailer that came out pretty recently where she's, like, asking why Shang-Chi's shirt's, like, off, and he just, like, shrugs. Like.
Oh, yeah, that's the one. So what did you guys think of that, though?
The new one? I liked it. I mean, I was already super excited for this movie. I don't want to say it's my most anticipated Marvel movie of the year, because we're all going to say Spider-Man at this point, but I'm very excited to see
Shang-Chi genuinely is mine.
Shang-Chi,
my bad.
Shang-Chi genuinely is my most anticipated Marvel movie this year. It has been since last year.
I'm not going to lie. The trailers all feel the same to me.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Like, it seems like they just keep using the same clips, which, I mean, good, because I don't want them to show us, like, too much of the movie. But I feel
like
they
showed
us everything they can without bringing in major spoilers.
I wasn't too big on the Makluan bracelets being the rings, but I noticed when we watched the second trailer last night,
Thursday. I don't know. You might have been seeing things, Will. I don't know.
I didn't. I rechecked it on YouTube.
Oh, snap. So he does.
When he used the rings in the battle between him and Mandarin that you saw, you can see 5 rings on his knuckles. Or on his fingers.
I don't care where the rings go. I just want them to all do something individual. I don't want them to just all be the same thing.
Yeah. But I'm saying they're giving us both the wristband and the rings.
Yeah. It makes sense because the wristbands would be dragon-sized finger rings, and they were made for the dragons. So, like, it makes sense if it could, like, form to someone else's fingers then.
Well, here's my question. Why do they keep trying to take the color out of the comic book movies?
Talking about Fing Fang Foom or what?
Talking about the rings. Uh-huh. They are these golden, beautiful things with each individual colored gem in the middle.
I think they're trying to avoid an Infinity Stone type thing.
You can still do that just fine.
That's what worries me about how they're not going to be able to do something each individually different. Like, they all look the same.
I'm sorry, but people say that. You can differentiate them in the comics and the cartoons. You can differentiate them in the movie.
Yeah, but comics have a lot less critics than, like, these movies are going to have, especially after, like, something like Infinity War. They're just say, oh, that's just the Infinity Stones, but, you know, for a martial arts movie.
Then, in my opinion, you let those critics complain because they obviously don't get it.
I wish they kept the Mandarin's long hair in, because he only has it in the flashbacks. Like, in the modern, he has the short hair. I kind of like the long hair.
I don't know, because he had the short hair in the flashback, too, in the second trailer.
It just looked like,
you know, like for Shang-Chi's childhood, or Shang-Chi's childhood. I think when he's talking about flashbacks, like back when he was like at his prime, I guess. Or getting I don't know.
I'm saying are you saying he had it in the childhood?
Yeah, I'm saying he had the long hair when little Shang-Chi was getting hit by sticks. So we know when he was a kid, he had the long hair. But then we see in the final battle between them, he has the short hair. And
when he was talking to young Shang-Chi in the trailer number two. He had the short hair then, too, so I have no clue when he has the long.
Are you sure that wasn't, like, cut together weird to make it look like it?
No clue.
No, it was, he had his hand on his shoulder.
I'm just saying man bun the thing, you know?
Man absolutely.
Yeah.
Mandarin bun the thing.
Hey.
So the other news we got is, Hawkeye drops on Disney Plus November 24th.
Flying into your Disney Plus, point accuracy dropping on Wednesday.
You know what I can't wait for?
Kingpin.
Or no, my wish. No, I don't care about Kingpin. My wish is that he gets his flying hover bike.
I hope he gets his goofy little pointy ear helmet.
Oh, you know I do.
Yeah.
That'd be pretty dope.
It seems
They've been using nothing but comic accurate costumes so far.
I was gonna say they've been using the Disney Plus shows to just be like, here's a little comic accurate nod.
I just don't know how they could make that work in Hawkeye's case.
Easy, just embrace the goofiness, man.
Just more purple, I'd be happy. It looks like we're getting more purple.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely more purple. I just don't know if Hawkeye's character works for a situation to embrace goofiness like that.
It depends how they write him in the show. I think that's really where it's going to be.
Remember, Will.
They
should have hired an actual deaf actor instead of Jeremy Renner.
No. Exactly. Rachel Zegler said deaf black trans woman.
Oh, okay. That would have worked for his character, I feel.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like Jeremy Renner could have played that.
I mean, after that haircut he had in Endgame, he could pull anything.
Exactly. The Mohawk.
Kind of awkward. Hawkeye and Captain Marvel have the same haircut.
That's true. But I mean,
Hawkeye had like a mullet. Let's be real.
I mean, in the next one,
a Mohawk mullet thingy.
Hawkeye had, like, a rat tail almost at the end.
Yeah. So the next news is Scarlett Johansson sues Disney for putting Black Widow on Disney Plus Premier Access as it violated her contract and shorted her $50 million.
Oh, I was going to ask this earlier, but how many Black Widow trailers do you guys think we got? Because it felt
Marvel
like
Marvel does a teaser trailer, then 3 others. Okay. And in 3 TV spots.
I'm not going to lie. Like, every time I was, like, scrolling through YouTube, like, every single time it would say, like, the newest, like, Black Widow trailer, the final Black Widow trailer. And every single time it would be, like, a super recent video.
So
it felt like they just kept releasing trailers.
Come on, you got to feel like, bad for it.
On a weekly basis.
It was supposed to come out like a year ago, so like they had to fill up the empty space with something.
I guess, but every single time I saw a new trailer, I just cared less and less about the movie.
Fair.
Listen, they're saying that the movie bombed in the second week because it was also released on Disney Plus. I think it bombed in the second week because it wasn't that good.
Well, yeah.
It's true.
But, yeah, I heard about you suing them because it was not supposed to have premiere access, right?
Yeah, and it violated her contract completely, and she was shorted 50 mil.
Jeez.
I was going to say, you know, good taking down the bigger man, but, you know, it's not like Scarlett Johansson's some, like, charity case.
Well, then Emma Stone joined her.
She sure did. For Cruella.
Which, I saw both movies in theaters, so I'm good.
Yeah, I saw both. I saw the movie in theaters, then I watched it on Disney Plus. I had both experiences.
Who bought it on Disney Plus? Your mom?
Yes.
So then we have the Marvel's What If official trailer dropped.
What? Official trailer?
Prior to that, it was just a teaser.
What? Have I seen this trailer?
I don't know.
So the newest trailer that dropped?
Yeah.
You saw it.
Yeah, it's mostly the Agent Carter stuff, mostly because that's the first episode, so that's what they're really heavily advertising right now.
Yeah.
Actually, it started out with Killmonger saving Tony.
Start off the Killmonger Tony thing, yeah.
But it also got heavy into Star Wars T'Challa.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably my most anticipated episode. I don't know, maybe Marvel Zombies.
Mine's Marvel Zombies with Peter saving the day.
I don't know. I'm really excited to see what happens with Tony Stark being on Sakaar.
True.
Or I want to see, is it the Guardians of the Universe, like with the, I forget, there's like, it's
Guardians of the Multiverse.
Guardians of the Multiverse, that would be a cool episode.
Guardians of the Universe is the Green Lantern one.
Like Guardians of the Multiverse, what's that lineup?
It's their version of the Avengers, it's like their T'Challa, Star-Lord, Killmonger.
Gamora.
King Killmonger.
Then we have, Party Thor is what they're calling him.
Party Thor.
Basically, he was never sent to Earth, and he stayed arrogant.
Aren't we getting an episode where Loki Thor?
I don't know.
Maybe. I don't know. I keep hearing a bunch of different stuff for What If. I have no idea what's actually going to be there. I know we're going to get, like, Dark Doctor Strange.
I'm getting Spider-Man Sorcerer Supreme. Are we getting Spider-Man Sorcerer Supreme?
Yeah. So that's Spider-Man. No, just Spider-Man with the Cloak of Levitation, and he's known as the Zombie Hunter.
Oh, so that's the zombie episode. Okay.
Yeah. So after that, we have the...
What happened in the multiverse to make Peter Parker Sorcerer Supreme?
Nothing. So we got the Venom Let There Be Carnage trailer.
Oh, I love this trailer.
It made me not want to watch the movie.
So many gooey guys and long tongues.
Gross.
I was grossed out too much. I don't know if I want to watch it.
Grossed out too much?
I've always struggled with Carnage. He's cool, but comic Carnage is a little much for me.
For real?
Isn't Cletus kind of a cannibal?
Yeah.
I struggle with that, bud.
I don't know. I'm excited for it. I'm just a little upset that it's PG-13. I hope they make an R-rated cut, because, like, yeah, you can make a good movie still. It's just I want to see Carnage be Carnage.
I
hate when people use that argument, to be honest. Carnage is still Carnage without R-rated.
I know. I'm saying it will still be good, but I want, like, full, like, no holds barred with
it. I think an R-rated Venom movie just makes sense.
He eats people.
I'm tired of R-rated comic movies. I'm tired of the asking, because to me, just don't take...
So we're going to...
Don't limit your audience like that.
We're going to talk about an R-rated comic book movie today as our main topic, and you're tired of stuff like that?
Yes, because in my opinion, they could have still lessened the gore, taken out the nudity and some of the cussing, and it would have been the same movie.
I wouldn't have enjoyed it as much.
I don't know. I don't think Suicide Squad can really be Suicide Squad without the gore.
I said they could have... You can still start getting gore like that in PG-13. They've changed some of the stuff.
I don't know if we could have got any of, like, the limbs being taken off and the heads exploding in a PG-13. Yeah. We'll talk about it when we talk about it.
What if it was grounded? But, yeah, we can talk about that later.
So then we got the Ms. Marvel is delayed to 2022.
Nice. Let's go.
I'm excited for Ms. Marvel.
Don't like Kamala, but I'm excited for the Pakistani lifestyle that we get to see.
Hey, it's a superhero from Jersey.
True, it's your home.
It's my roots, the Hopkins roots. Anywho, I'm excited for it. That's okay. We're getting Hawkeye still, and What If, and Shang-Chi, and Spider-Man 3, and Eternals all this year. So that's fine.
Oh yeah, Eternals.
Yeah, everyone forgets Eternals comes out in November.
There's a reason.
Shang-Chi is like getting those heavy advertising right now because it's like the next big superhero movie. Everyone has not stopped talking about Spider-Man forever, and just no one talks about Eternals.
Personal prediction: Eternals is gonna bomb hard.
What do you guys think is more least anticipated, Eternals or the Marvels movie?
Eternals.
I'm gonna hold my thing on the Marvel movie until I see Ms. Marvel.
You know why I think people want to see the Marvels movie?
What?
Because Monica Rambeau was popular in WandaVision, and they still want to see her story continue.
Dude, I hated her character in WandaVision. She started off cool, but then it just went so...
Yeah.
I don't know how to describe
it. But she was popular, and Captain Marvel's still fairly popular.
Okay, what do you think's going to bomb more, Eternals or Dune?
Dune? Well, I want to see Dune.
Eternals.
I want to see Dune really bad. It might be one of my most anticipated movies left of this year.
Why do you think it's going to bomb?
Because I don't think like it's a popular... listen, it's like the holy bible for nerds, but I don't think it's a popular enough IP.
Fair enough.
Maybe. I don't know. I think they've like advertised it really well in the trailers.
I agree. I mean, it's a star-studded cast. Like
right, though, but the star-studded cast is what's going to put butts in seats.
Yeah, like Jason Momoa.
Zendaya.
Yeah.
I don't... Is it dropping on HBO Max? Same guy? Okay.
But you got Zendaya, you got Oscar Isaac, and Josh Brolin, you're set.
This is one of the movies I feel
like... And Jason Momoa.
This is one of the movies you have to see in theaters. It's massive, right?
Oh, I'm watching it on HBO Max. I have no desire.
Come on.
IMAX, baby.
Yeah, I want to see IMAX.
Dune,
we'll do it.
Here's my thing. I have such issues with the nose thing that go into their nose. Their tubes.
Yeah, I know.
Asher knows why.
Because of the hospital.
No, because I used to have to do that way.
Tubes. I love looking at some tubes. No, I'm really... Dave Bautista. Did we say Dave Bautista?
We did not.
I'm excited for it. That also had a trailer quite recently, but that played at the movie we were at. But that's like a 3-minute-long trailer. It kind of showed a lot.
Yeah, dude. I feel like they have shown a little bit too much of the plot in the trailers.
They need to stop putting the end of movies in trailers.
That's fair.
Like, I did not want to know that Zendaya was a dream.
Oh, she is? I didn't catch that.
They said that it was a dream that he later met in real life.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like, if you're going to talk about the dreams, just don't show him actually meeting her.
Exactly.
Or, like, they kind of spoiled it, too, by showing him with, like, the nose tube and the blue eyes, too. Like, we already know he's going to switch sides.
They showed that Jason Momoa, in my opinion, still looks a lot better cleanly shaven.
He does look pretty good clean shaven.
So after that, we've got Illumination Entertainment releases their first poster for Mario, Super Mario.
Wait, they're making a Mario movie?
Yes, sir.
I sent it in the group chat where it's just butt shots.
Yeah, it was released right after we made the last episode.
After that, we got Ghostbusters Afterlife trailer.
Yes.
Illumination.
Chef's kiss.
It's the Despicable Me people, Asher. It's gonna be like the Despicable Me art style.
Bro, I remember you saying that. I did not gather that was an Illumination production.
Yep. So what do you think of that Ghostbusters trailer though?
I love Paul Rudd.
I'm so ready.
I love Paul Rudd too.
I am marathoning all three of those. I'm even doing 2016 before I watch this.
I don't think I've seen the second one, like, in years. Like, I can't remember a single thing about Ghostbusters.
Oh, I never watched it. I just saw the first one. Is the second one any good?
Okay. I don't know. I don't remember much.
I liked Viggo the Carpe at the end as a villain.
Are you going to play the game? Because that's the unofficial threequel.
This is pretty for real.
Yeah, it's technically like it continues the story and it's canon.
That's amazing.
After that, this is for you, bud. You ready?
So,
this is for Harrison.
I had no idea who he was talking to either.
Yeah, I was like, who? Okay.
I'm so used to calling Harrison Bud, but I forget I call it to you too, Asher.
What is it?
Just call everyone Bud.
The newly titled Predator Skull.
Oh, yeah, I'm excited for this.
We'll have a female lead.
That's fine.
Be similar to Leonardo DiCaprio's The Revenant.
Yep.
And follows the Predator's first journey to Earth.
Yeah, this is going to be like a period piece one. Like, they were talking pirates, maybe, or like Ooh. Medieval.
Yo, pirates?
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
And three-fourths is of the filming is complete, but they're unsure if it's going to be PG-13 or R. I expect R.
I expect R, too, because you'd have to show most of his kills off-screen then.
Sure. So, wait. It's going to be a female. It's going to be a female Predator?
No,
female-led, like, character.
I thought the Predator was going to be the
Arnold Schwarzenegger character will be a female.
Okay, that's cool. You get some Sigourney Weaver action, basically.
Who knows? Like maybe some of the Predators we've already seen are lady Predators. We don't know.
For real? I mean, I've only seen the first one. That was definitely a dude.
It was definitely a dude. He gave off some big male Sigma male vibes.
It was very schlong. We're just swinging around in the woods.
Oh my God, guys.
Just cutting through the weed, like all this the overgrown stuff. This is a very
different type of Predator, if you know what I mean.
Dude, Predators weaponize everything, man.
This is like
you
a...
Never, stop! You never let your guard down.
This Predator is allowed 500 yards of a school.
They don't call it a one-eyed monster for nothing.
The hunt is
on. How are we PG-13 until Asher joins?
I don't know. The studio's really going to give us the R rating.
Oh, for real.
So, the new TMNT film...
Listen, it's just Justice. What's up?
A new live-action TMNT film is in the works at Paramount.
Nice.
It's produced by Michael Bay.
Again, let's go. Yeah.
But written by Colin Jost and Casey Jost.
Yeah, I heard about them. What do they do again? Like, what have they done?
Colin Jost married Scarlett Johansson.
Oh, that guy. Okay. The guy from
SNL. So that's his qualification?
I mean, I figured that's his biggest achievement. It's pretty impressive.
Have they written anything?
No, Colin Jost writes a lot of SNL.
Yeah, I was going to say, he's the news guy on SNL. He was in Tom and Jerry.
Oh,
he's an actor and writer. Promising.
An SNL writer writing TMNT? That doesn't sound good.
So many political...
Oh, no, he literally writes the best segment on SNL.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, it's the new segment.
Okay. That's a little part more promising.
Well, then, sad news.
What about the other guy?
It's his brother.
Has he done anything, or just
alone? No clue.
Okay.
So, sad news.
Sad news.
So,
Thea White, the voice of Muriel Bagg in Courage the Cowardly Dog, passed away.
Oh, but they're doing the Courage the Cowardly Dog, like, return thing.
They already did. The Scooby-Doo one?
Yeah.
They did.
Aw.
That's unfortunate.
It was her last one.
That's sad.
So then, The Bad Batch has been renewed for season 2.
Yay!
I thought season 1 ended, like, a while ago.
No. Season 1's finale is this week and next week.
This show has been dragging along.
Dragging along. That didn't sound very positive, Harrison.
I stopped halfway through the first season. Every episode was the same. I'm sorry, Will.
I can't argue with it. I just enjoy the characters enough to not let go.
The only thing that would bring me back is they're just like, look at this Clone Wars character. Look at this Clone Wars character returning. Look at this Clone Wars character return this episode.
Hey, I'm not gonna argue.
I mean, they brought back Gregor, so I like Gregor.
I will say the episode before War Mantle was god-awful.
Okay, but they brought back Gregor.
Yeah.
And they brought back that I think he's a new character, that Chad of a clone.
Scorch from Republic Commandos, the video game?
Oh, he's Scorch? He didn't look like Scorch. I thought Scorch was, like, red.
No, Scorch is yellow.
No, Gregor's yellow.
I don't know. They're all clones to me, bro.
Trust me, Scorch is yellow.
What color's Gregor?
Buddy.
I thought Bad Batch ended, like, before... What was the next, like, Marvel show coming out? Loki?
That's Scorch.
But Gregor's also yellow.
Huh.
That's Scorch also. That's not Gregor.
That's Gregor. I looked up Gregor.
For those of you watching at home, they're currently showing their Bad Batch characters. You're not Bad Batch, but...
Okay, so Scorch is green and yellow compared to Gregor. And where Gregor's visor cuts off, Scorch's continues.
I'm going to look up who this Chad of a clone is.
It's RC1262.
The guy, the blue one?
Blue eyes, yellow and green.
I'm looking this up. New clone.
In no, just look up Scorch. Star Wars.
Keep talking about the show. I'm finding this out.
Okay. So, it was dropped in the when they met Sid, hardcore.
It's Captain Hauser.
That's not Hauser.
Look at this chat of a clone.
Oh, you're thinking... Oh, my bad. The episode where we found Gregor, we also saw Scorch from Republic Commandos.
I was talking about a different episode. I'm just... The internet was blown up about how handsome of a chat of a clone this guy is.
Yeah, Hauser's amazing.
Definitely.
So... After that, Netflix's Avatar The Last Airbender cast its core characters. Gordon Cormier as Aang, Kiawantio Tarabell as Katara, Ian Ausley as Sokka, and Dallas Liu as Zuko. They released a picture and they all look age-appropriate and like their characters. I'm excited.
Great, so we're talking about Avatar again. Asher's on the show. Can we bring up the Azula body pillow?
No, we cannot.
But
not part of this
the correct answer will always be Ty Lee.
Prince Zuko.
Harry, she's 14. We're going to stop talking about this right now.
Ty Lee's 16, I think.
It's Prince Zuko.
Yeah, but still, and we're 19-year-olds.
Zuko.
I'm 21, so I guess even
worse. We're not going to talk about this.
Zuko, this hot spa is so relaxing, Zuko.
Sorry, I didn't even mention the fact that they're animated characters either, so.
Looks so tense, Zuko.
Well, here's the thing.
Harry. Body.
This poor body. Dallas Blue Man is Zuko, right? Yeah. He looks good. He's gonna have to do that janky season one ponytail.
Hey, I got a ponytail right now.
I'm
looking at the guy. I think he could rock it.
Here, let me get a red marker and draw a scar on half my face. Give me a minute.
Nah, bro, I got a better way to cosplay. I'll get the boiling water.
Hi, Zuko here.
Have you seen that? It's on TikTok and they go, working on my Todoroki cosplay and they start boiling water.
Boys. I'm not going to lie. I don't know how I feel about Sokka's actor.
Why? He looks good.
Kid's missing half his eyebrows.
They'll CG it back on.
Hello.
CG the eyebrows.
Who needs hair and makeup? They'll CG his eyebrows
back
on. Wait,
let me go back and look at this cast.
As long as they don't...
He is missing half
the eyebrows. We're all good.
What is wrong with his eyebrows?
I know, right? Well, they have to put makeup on to give him the rest of his eyebrows.
Ah, it looks... Wait, is she, is the actress, is she Asian as well? Because I don't think Katara should be Asian.
No, Katara and Sokka are both Native American actors.
Great. Wait, you tell me this guy with half of his eyebrows is Native American? Okay.
Yeah.
I can see that for him.
All right.
You didn't know?
Because the guy that plays Zuko really looks like he's with...
His father is Chief Half-Brow.
He looks like he's ready with BTS.
Nice. Honestly, if they do give him his eyebrows back, he really could be a convincing Sokka.
Right? They did good with this cast, even Aang. I was worried about them not getting someone with big enough eyes.
Yo.
Look.
Take the beanie off.
Take the beanie. Nah, he's got hair over there, bro. They gotta buzz him.
He's hiding the arrow. They actually straight up got it tattooed on his head.
Oh, I messed up. He gotta go bald. Whoa!
Okay, but like, can they give him gray contacts, please? Because the gray eyes are dope on Aang.
Oh, for sure.
Dude, who do you think they're gonna cast as Appa?
Dave Bautista.
Your mom! No, sorry. I'm sorry.
What?
What'd you say?
I said your mom.
Oh.
Someone's not coming to Florida.
Unfortunate.
Alright, so after that, we've got Suicide Squad.
Oh, we're just going to talk about it?
What do you want to do?
I think we are.
That, That was all the news?
Are we going into it?
Yeah.
No prep. We're not wrapping this one in. We're just sticking it in. Let's go.
Let's go.
Stop. God, you're fired.
Oh, no. We have to have this up to a vote.
Can we fire Asher?
Let's talk about it after the episode.
This hurts only having two people. How do you solve this?
I don't know. I guess we have to bring on, like, I guess we have to get your dad on here more or something.
Well, Dad, I know what Dad's going to vote.
Yeah, I know what your dad's going to vote.
So,
So the Suicide Squad.
Right? The Suicide Squad.
Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
Suicide Squad is a DC film directed by James Gunn that follows the story of multiple villains that are being put on a top secret mission to get their life sentences shortened. They get 10 years off.
10 years off.
Starring John Cena, Idris Elba, Margot Robbie, Sylvester Stallone, and others.
David Duchovny. Thank you.
I like how in this one they didn't, like, spend a ton of exposition trying to explain the premise. It was like, you know the deal, let's do it.
Right.
That's what this one had above the first one, you know? Like, that's the only good thing the original one did, is it already explained the premise of the squad.
Well, basically, the premise of the squad, they still explained, but it was so much easier to do.
So, yeah. would you think it could have, like, it would have been okay if the first one started off like this, like, not explaining anything?
Because we saw what it was when they grabbed Savant.
I agree.
They said, you're up.
I just don't know. I don't know as, like, a normal audience member would have been confused, like, what's going on?
Yeah, I think you kind of need that original context.
No, because Amanda Waller even says, you know the deal. You go in, do the mission, 10 years off your life sentence.
Yeah, I know. We're talking about if there was a different movie, like...
No, that's what I'm saying. Even if you don't understand, that was enough exposition, in my opinion.
But, like, with Amanda Waller going, you know the deal, any ordinary audience member's going to be like, No, I don't.
Then she explains after. She says, you go in, do the mission, you get 10 years off your life sentence. You desert, we blow your head off.
I agree with you that, like, but, like, someone that has no idea what the squad is, I feel like it would have been...
That's just a good summary of it.
But that's all you need. And then she shows... They show what happened at the beginning with Team One. That's all you need. It's not hard to understand the squad.
Yes.
It's a pretty basic concept.
We're privileged.
What?
It's a pretty basic concept.
That's just racist.
I just want to point out real quick, if you're any child screeching, it's because I live with my kids.
What are you saying, Will?
If you're any child screeching, it's because I live with five kids.
Okay.
But yeah, I do think that is enough, even for the average moviegoer, to understand what's going on.
Great opening. I agree with you.
Yeah, great opening. I think that without the original, it would, like, the audience critics would have probably dug into that, saying that it needed a little bit more elaborating on. Just saying, I don't know. I think it's just because you're forgetting that the first movie exists, but you already know the context of it.
No, I'm saying if I didn't know anything, that would have been enough for me. Be like, oh.
Okay, imagine if the Guardians of the Galaxy first movie just started off with them already together. That would have been confusing.
Yeah, but, like, that's kind of how the first Suicide Squad worked.
No, because, like, the first Suicide Squad takes, like, the first hour to, like, assemble them.
Does it?
Yeah, I watched it the other day. I think it drags on, but I'm saying it spends, like, they don't start their mission until, like, an hour, 10 minutes in.
Goodness gracious.
Yeah, and it's just, like, a lot needs to, because there needs to be a good reason, like, they need to establish why this is even a thing in the first place.
Why what? Like,
you know,
why Task Force X to Suicide Squad needs to be a thing.
They spend all that time, like, explaining why each member's in jail, which I think's a bit much, but that's like the first hour of the first Suicide Squad movie.
Oh, it is a bit much, considering they just did a down walk the hall conversation to explain it for this movie.
Right, like, I'm okay with them, like, starting off on the mission like they did in this one. Also, by the way, I don't know if we're going to go into spoilers right away.
We are.
Okay, so I like how they start off with this one just on the mission, because I think you can explain, like, the characters why they're there while they're on the mission.
Yeah. Heck, even in that little helicopter scene.
Yeah, which, I mean, you know, doesn't really matter if those characters are elaborated on too much, because we all know what happens to them.
Yeah. I still love that helicopter scene, though.
Yeah, I could have had 2 hours with that.
I mean, yo, what kind of dog is this?
I don't know. I'm not familiar with all the breeds.
What kind of dog do you think it is, mate? I think it's an Afghan hound.
I like when TDK was helping Blackguard fasten his seatbelt.
I know. Like, how dumb is Pete Davidson's character? Oh, that dumb.
Yeah, it's pretty dumb. It's pretty dumb. I like, listen, you asked me after the movie was ended, you were like, what villains would you like for the next one? And, like, that's what I enjoyed about this one is, like, these are characters that, like, totally work for the squad.
Yeah.
Honestly, I want to see, if there's ever a sequel, I want it to be the same premise, but it's, like, an alternate universe where the other team dies first. And it's, like, the team that dies and that survives and has to do the mission.
There's a few things about the original squad I want to ask about. And they're not important because they're basically just used for an opening joke and to establish the premise. But isn't Mongal supposed to be, like, invincible?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know anything about Mongal. I know Mongol.
It's his daughter, okay? So she should probably have all the same powers.
Probably.
Yeah, like, I don't know, man.
Like, Mongol can, like, beat up Superman. So I'm just saying, she jumped on that helicopter not knowing that she was going to die. I don't know. They killed Boomer. That's all I'm going to say.
Bro, I've been looking at, like, YouTube stuff, and, like, people are, like, actually upset about it in the comics.
Like, that they
in the comments and stuff.
That they killed Boomer?
Yeah.
He's an integral member of the squad, I'd say, and I really like Jai Courtney as the character.
Yeah. But I don't know. I think it worked for what James Gunn was trying to do, trying to give it a fresher feel.
Good for Jai Courtney to come back as the character just for like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
What else? Weasel is great.
And alive.
And alive. He is alive.
He's chilling.
Is there any other members of the original team you want to talk about?
I do, kind of. I definitely think Javelin would have lasted a little bit longer than he did.
He didn't do anything. That man just walked up and died.
Yeah, I seriously thought he was going to last just a little bit longer.
I would have liked to see him kill people.
I feel like his whole premise did not make sense for, like, a firefight. He just has one Javelin. So it's like, I don't know, unless you can, like, magically summon Javelins, it's kind of useless when you're compared to, like,
true.
Mexican army. Or, I guess, what were they? Were they Mexican? I don't know what they were.
They were in Quarter Maltese.
Yeah, Quarter Maltese, which South I didn't... American. They didn't anticipate all the guards to be there, right? Did they?
No.
Blackguard sold him out, was the second to die, because technically Weasel died first, but not really. So I'm going to say Blackguard was the first to die, because he double-crossed Suicide Squad, got his face blown a hole through it.
First, for sure.
That scene, I don't know what about that. That just, like, shocked me. I was like, oh, so this is, like, the kind of R rating they're going to go for. Okay.
Yeah. Right.
That's the same exact effect that James Gunn used in Super what's his name?
Ben Wilson and Ellen Page.
Yeah, Ellen. That's exactly how Ellen Page dies in Super. Like, the exact same effect with the whole face.
Dang.
Yeah. But anyway, love TDK. Love Nathan Fillion.
Okay, when his arms were getting shot and they were disconnected and you can see him crying in pain, had me done.
That was good. And you're right, Asher. It's the detachable kid. You're right.
The detachable kid, yeah.
He said that when the first trailer dropped. I was impressed.
Huh?
You told me that you thought it was the detachable kid around the first trailer when it dropped.
I think I heard that from, like, another video, so I'm not going to credit myself with that.
Well, still.
Great callback to, what is the arm fall-off boy from? Is he the Legion of Superheroes?
Yes.
Yeah, great callback to that. What happened next?
Mongo died, Javelin, Boomerang.
Boomerang died. Harley survived, and Rick Flag and Harley are the only two that survived from the original team, and they both get captured.
Yes.
Yes. And then...
Then they call in the new team, Team 2.
Oh, wait.
Or no, we see a flashback.
Savant gets his head blown off.
Yeah,
because he runs away in fear.
Yeah.
But then we go back to Bell Rev Penitentiary.
Yeah, flashback to 3 days earlier.
Who's the first one we meet? Idris Elba?
Yeah, I mean, we get that right after they all die. We get Idris Elba and the rest of the team walking on the beach, but that wasn't really meeting them.
Correct. We see Team 2 in, and then it's a Bloodsport, Polka Dot Man, Ratcatcher 2, Peacemaker, King Shark.
That's it.
I'm not missing one?
No, because I think there's five. What? Bloodsport, Polka Dot Man, King Shark, Peacemaker, Ratcatcher 2. Yeah, it's only five.
Yeah. But then we go back to 3 days earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And we see Bloodsport, aka Robert Dubois, scraping gum off the floor.
Yep. Well, Amanda Waller and her team try to recruit him. He says no.
She gives the lowdown.
Yeah.
He puts Superman in the ICU with a kryptonite bullet.
Which James Gunn never confirmed which Superman that is.
Hmm?
They asked James Gunn, they were like, is it the Henry Cavill Superman? James Gunn's like, I don't know.
Well, it'd have to be. It's the same universe no matter what.
Yeah, I mean, you got Amanda Waller.
There's no other Superman.
It was just a funny comment because I just saw an interview with that and someone was like, James Gunn doesn't even know what universe they're in.
Oh.
But it'd have to be DCEU regular.
I think DC is
starting to play with the multiverse anyway, so it's like...
But we're not going to see that until Flashpoint, which is later.
In all intended purposes, this could be its own universe if it wanted.
Yeah. I don't know. I think DCEU, they're not really playing like with the cinematic universe like Marvel is anymore.
They aren't, but I do remember Walter Hamada, the guy in charge, saying that we'll see Earth 1 and 2. Earth 2 is the Robert Pattinson Batman.
Okay.
And, that right now, anything that's not set in the Pattinson universe or part of the multiverse is just set in Earth 1.
Oh, so Joker Joaquin Phoenix takes place on Earth 1.
Nice.
Or
set in the multiverse.
I want to see him on the Suicide Squad.
That'd be interesting.
Yeah. Anyway, so we get the whole daughter thing, which is very similar to Deadshot, we must say, but they did it.
They did what?
The, you know, Bloodsport having his daughter.
But yeah, they
did. I like that they didn't do what they did with Deadshot in the first movie. Like, they just have this super dysfunctional relationship. We're just, like, yelling and cussing at each other all the time.
Yeah, it's not like Bloodsport wants to get out of prison so he can be back with his daughter.
Yeah.
Guys.
What?
While we're talking, I'm looking at C-list Suicide Squad. No, DC villains.
Yeah.
There's a guy named Codpiece. He has a gun strapped to, yeah.
Oh, I've seen that guy. Yeah, he's just got a gun on his wiener.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, I'd like to see that. We needed, definitely Condiment King has to be it, because apparently he was up for this movie, but.
Oh, at the
end, we're going to put together our own Suicide Squad of 7.
Cool.
But then talk about who we want. We'll go back and forth with members.
Okay.
And then we'll talk about who we want in the next movie.
Okay.
So
he meets the team. We meet John Cena, Christopher Smith, Peacemaker.
Chris Smith. Think Cleo Lasso.
We meet King Shark next.
That was great.
I can't think of his name.
Nanawe?
Yeah, Sylvester Stallone.
Are we just going to sum up the whole movie, or are we just going to talk about stuff we liked?
Let's talk about the stuff we liked.
We go through and then talk about what we liked.
Okay.
It's easier to remember in the moment.
I was going to say, I'm trying to remember the stuff I like by going through the movie.
When we meet King Shark, he had me dead reading the books upside down.
Yeah.
Read book. Book smart.
Then
we meet Cleo.
And her Sebastian.
And Sebastian, and then we learn about, he's not too down with it, but we don't know why.
Oh, Bloodsport, yeah, because he hates rats. We see Crazy Quill.
No, we don't. We see Kaleidoscope.
Oh, I thought that was female Crazy
Quill. I sent you the video.
Yeah, I saw that in the theater and thought it was female Crazy Quill.
Nope, it's the female villain who has the face like that named Kaleidoscope.
Hmm.
Okay. He really pulled from this.
Yeah, he did, because then later we got, which we already saw images of, but we got Calendar Man and...
Because when they get Polka Dot Man, we see Calendar Man and Double Decker.
Yeah.
Honestly, I loved how they did the prison in this movie compared to, like, the first movie.
Oh, I know.
In the first movie, they had everyone, like, their own, like, solitary confinement. It just did not feel like a legit prison at all.
I agree.
And in this movie, it just felt way more believable.
The last prison felt like a real life prison for like supervillains, because like, yeah, you would isolate them, but this is like a comic booky, like they're all getting to interact, which I like more.
Yeah.
Kind of where I'm at this point.
Yeah. And then they go out and they get their debriefing about Project Starfish.
Yes.
Which is a slang term for butthole.
Yeah.
I like the, what's that? It's a projector. Do you ever use it?
Why don't you just throw it away?
And then they...
Although Amanda Waller, like, looks like she wants to, like, kill herself every single time.
She seriously looks like a teacher who's done with her class.
She was great in this one, too. She didn't have as much to do in this one as the first one, but she was great.
It was awesome.
And then they go on their mission, and we get back to present day, and they go to sleep that night, and King Shark tries to eat Ratcatcher.
Okay, can I talk about, like, I have not seen anyone talk about this. I love the transitions that James Gunn uses.
It was, like, made in chapters. I loved it.
It was made in chapters, but also act one, act two. Well, no, I'm talking about, like, just how, like, the transitions are done. Like, how it's, like, he creates the lettering out of the environment.
Yes, the, meanwhile, Harley, or the, when Savant blew up, Warner Brothers presents in the blood.
Mm-hmm. Or, you know, like, the 3 days earlier in the suds of the toilet.
Yeah.
Whatever. Like, it's just super creative. And when the, like, the sticks blew, like, I don't know, they were blown away to create now.
Yeah, it felt like a comic book panel transition.
Yeah.
Very like, much so.
Meanwhile, or, yeah.
No, that was beautiful. And then, Operation Harley.
Yeah.
The fire.
Yeah. Because it was Operation... What was the first one when it was in the fire?
Operation Starfish.
Was it?
No, Operation Jotunheim.
Something like that. And then, like, it blew away and the smoke made Harley. It was awesome.
Yeah.
It was just so creative. It was just like... I don't know. You can tell that they really gave James Gunn complete creative freedom on this movie.
Oh, for sure.
What else? We see Polka Dot Man. It's like a extraterrestrial virus that he has to throw up.
Yes, that his mom put him in.
Yeah. I liked what they did with him. At the same time, I wish it was his suit. Because, like, in the comics, each Polka Dot does something different, which I like.
I kind of like this more. It made him more of a threat.
It made him more of a threat. But I like the goofiness of, like, he's got a razor blade Polka Dot he can throw. Or, like, a fire Polka Dot. Or, like, an electric Polka Dot.
No, these ones just obliterate anything and everyone.
Yeah. Burn it alive. I'll agree with you there.
We find out that King Shark, like, really can't die. I don't know.
Well, shark skin is super thick. So bullets aren't going to do jack to it.
Well, I mean, if you shot an actual shark with a gun, yeah, it would do something.
Does it?
Yeah.
I thought that's why they normally use harpoons.
You think sharks are bulletproof?
I thought so. I'm not going to lie.
Bruh.
If you shot a shark with a gun, it would go through the shark.
I think harpoons are used just so they can, like, bring the shark back or, like, catch it.
Oh.
Since it's, you know, connected to a rope.
Can we just talk about that we got a live-action star? Who honestly thought we were going to get that?
Only if James Gunn did a DC movie, and that happened.
But, like, some of the characters we got, we would have never, ever seen them. All of the characters we got besides Harley, we would have never seen in live action if it weren't for this movie.
Yeah. I mean, what? Arm Fall Off Boy? No, wouldn't have seen him.
Blackguard.
Ratcatcher? Probably not.
Weasel?
Polka Dot Man? Probably not. I'm telling you. We'll talk about it later. I want Eraser. I want Calculator Man. There's others I want.
Just
but we'll
the
talk
Calculator.
About it. I want Zebra. But we'll talk about it. What else? Okay, let's just talk about things we liked. I liked, even though it dragged a little bit, I liked the subplot with Harley and the sexy prince dude.
Yeah.
Oh my, I honestly did like it.
It was funny, and it showed, like, character development.
Yeah, I liked that. It showed, you know, I was like, oh, great, Harley's gonna fall. Oh, nope, she shot him.
I was waiting for her to kill him. I was waiting for that to happen at any point in the thing.
Same.
The best action scene in the whole movie when Bloodsport and Peacemaker go through and kill the whole village.
Yes.
And then turns out it was the side they're supposed to be all, like...
The freedom fighters.
Yeah, the freedom fighters.
I was watching that a second time, and my mom was like, why aren't they fighting back at all? I'm like, because they're just waking up. Or did you realize that was all one take?
No.
It was one shot. Like,
that
never.
But now that you say that, seeing how it was, there was really no cut, I can see that now.
Yeah.
Yeah, wait. That's awesome.
They were all just trying to one-up each other with how they were killing people. I like when he grabs the... I like how Peacemaker just had a sword. Like, they didn't explain it. Peacemaker just has a He-Man-style sword.
It was a katana, I thought.
He didn't even have much... He didn't use guns much at all. He used, like, a tomahawk and a sword.
I still love nobody likes a show-off. Unless if they're showing off as dope as him. He's right.
He's right. Some people didn't like his mask. I really liked Bloodsport's mask. I thought it was really cool.
The Xenomorph helmet?
Yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah, it was BA, dude.
Suit, how he could take apart parts of his suit.
Yeah. Bloodsport's character and costume were the most interesting I felt out of any of them. I did like Peacemaker's suit a lot, too.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Peacemaker's was literally just the comic book suit. I loved it.
Yeah, it's awesome.
But it's not one... See, this is why I say you don't think Hawkeye can work, but, like... We got Peacemaker.
Peacemaker
looks so dumb in the comics.
He's okay, but I'm saying like Peacemaker's character is goofy enough to pull that off.
Fair.
Like, I don't know, Hawkeye, like just the way the MCU has done Hawkeye,
yeah,
he's not goofy enough as a character to rock the classic costume.
I guess that's my issue with movies today, like comic book films. They're always scared of adapting kind of the goofy costumes. But if you give it a simple little modern twist, you're fine. Like how they did Scarlet Witch in WandaVision.
No, I agree with you. I mean, and I think that I'm going to call him Captain Falcon. The Captain Falcon suit's pretty comic accurate. It looks great.
Yeah.
People
need to stop being scared to do that and just try.
Yeah. There's certain characters they've never, you know, like the Batman suits are always, besides the Dark Knight, have always been pretty accurate. I still think the Ben Affleck one's the best currently.
Yes.
Yeah, if you change the symbol on the Ben Affleck suit to be a different bat symbol, I think that's like the bat suit.
I would agree, but I feel like a small symbol in such a big body would look weird.
Or pointy ears. Pointy ears would be good too. They're afraid to do pointy ears.
Robert Pattinson's not.
That's like not the pointiest, it's just a bit more pointy.
I wonder if Batman could ever like stab criminals with his pointy ears, like he just like goes like a bull.
Probably.
Charges at him.
But he wouldn't kill people.
What do you mean they're not pointy? Those things could stab a man.
I know, pointy. I'm saying, like, long. Like, you know, you have the short ears or the long ears.
Oh, to me, this is perfect. The medium ears like they do.
Yeah, but, like, long Halloween. You know how, like, long those are?
I don't like long Halloween's art.
No, I think it's unique. But anyway, that's we're getting off topic. What else did I like about the movie? I liked a lot of things about the movie.
Like, they give you long ears in Michael Keaton. Sorry, just had to.
Yeah, they do.
They look pretty long ears.
So, the freedom fight. Oh, yeah. The fact that Rick Flagg, they think, is captured and is just chilling, drinking tea.
Yeah. That man got beefy. Doesn't matter because John Cena was beefier, but good for Joel Kinnaman.
But Joel Kinnaman went from a twig to he could be John Cena's little brother.
Yeah, that fight that they have later on, I was like, yeah, this is awesome.
With all three of those guys?
No, with Joel Kinnaman and John Cena when they were trying to kill each other.
Oh, we're getting ahead of ourselves.
I know we're getting ahead of ourselves. I'm just saying, I'm like, that was a brutal, well-choreographed fight.
Yeah. So then we got, they do the Freedom Fighters, and they learn about Gaius Greaves, right?
Yeah, they knew they had to get to the Thinker on their debriefing, but yeah.
Yes, so once they get Rick Flagg, they start heading to the bar.
Uh-huh. And they...
Where you can see Mantis.
Oh, yeah.
So they are just kind of undercover in the bar, having drinks, having fun. Get the really odd scene with Calendar Man, Polka Dot Man dancing with his moms.
Yes, because he hates his mom, and so he just imagines everyone as
She's
his mom.
Everywhere.
Yeah, that was interesting.
Oh, wait, we skipped one of my favorite scenes.
Fake mustache.
Big mustache.
I went
no,
to
No, when they're in the jungle and King Shark tries to eat her. When he tries to eat Ratcatcher, but they're all in their pajamas or suits. And you got John Cena just in his tidy whities. You're in your tidy whities. That's racist.
That's just racist.
That had me. But that was good character development for King Shark, the whole friends thing.
Yeah. Well, his new friends he made at the end tried to eat him.
Yeah. It's because they're new dumber friends.
Dumb friends like me.
You know what? Good for King Shark for being patient and sitting in that truck for like hours.
Right.
Oh, yeah. And then after Harley kills that guy, she gets captured and gets tortured and tries to get information out, and then she breaks out and gets a really good action scene.
Did anyone genuinely think she was getting tortured?
I don't know. She enjoys pain.
I mean, you got to think she had shock therapy for how long?
Well, yeah, Like, just like Joker, she can take pain all day.
That taser wasn't doing much of anything.
No.
Yeah.
But then, yeah, she wraps her legs around the guy and kills him.
Which I'd like to point out that her flipping and grabbing the keys and doing that is Margot Robbie doing that for real.
Yeah.
Oh, for real?
Yeah. Yep. James Gunn was so ticked because he's like, it looks like we cut it and it's a stunt double. He's like, but that's actually Margot Robbie doing that. All those feet pics of Margot Robbie. Oh, my God.
Oh, God.
Dan Schneider's quaking.
Yeah.
The internet's quaking.
But that action scene, I think, was like one of like, I mean, Birds of Prey had a lot of good Harley Quinn action scenes, but that one was really good, too.
Can we talk about this, the best Harley Quinn adaption we've had yet?
Yeah, I wish she wore her comic suit more. She wore the dress for most of the movie. I wish she wore the
opening. Same, but at least she felt accurate this time. I don't like what the movies have done with her up until this point.
Yeah. I don't know.
I haven't liked Harley Quinn since the early 2000s.
I've never been the biggest fan of her on the squad, I'll be honest, because she's always like the one that you know will never die. So
She seems to do her own thing, you know?
Yeah, I like how she had the javelin and she was trying to carry it for she didn't know why.
Do it for what? For God?
Yeah, and the guy's like, I'm carrying it for God. Jesus Christ, him too. so they try to break out.
So then we got her rescue scene.
Yeah, they try to break her out, but we see that in the trailer.
Oh, wait, no, we skipped it.
They get captured by the government.
Flag, Peacemaker, and Bloodsport do.
Yeah, and they give that cool breakout.
And they have the cool breakout scene.
Yeah, and then they try to break out Harley, and then she's already free. And then we get the...
And by this point, we know that Idris Elba's scared of rats.
Yeah. We find that out at the beginning on the beach.
That's it by this point.
Yeah. And then we get the big third act where they go to Jotunheim.
Oh, we also forgot that we got Ratcatcher's origin and why Bloodsport was scared of rats in general.
Oh, yeah.
Those are big moments.
We
see pictures of Taika Waititi doing heroin.
I mean, that man does some crazy things, so good on him.
I couldn't take those scenes. I can't do needles, man.
Yeah, he had a real interesting wig.
Yeah.
I kind of like the look.
Or that, or he just kind of didn't cut his quarantine hair.
Yeah, that's true. I would have liked to see more of Taika, but you know, it's a packed movie.
Well, we got to see him talk. I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
So
Ratcatcher might have been overall the best member of the squad. I don't know. She really
was so innocent.
She's
pretty cool.
So we've got
Did she even kill anybody besides what? Starro?
Did she kill anyone? I don't think so.
No, she just used the rats to attack, but never kill.
They capture the Thinker, and they have that whole, you know, if you break the rules, you die.
If you break the rule, oh, they learned that. Yeah, you break the rules, you die.
Yep, personalized license plates, you die.
You die.
Harley Quinn. I don't know. I wasn't a huge fan of that sequence.
I love the shot of them walking through the rain later on. That was
really awesome. The thing that got me was, who ate all the empanadas? I, the chicken. It was pretty gross. Then you realize that Polka Dot Man is holding an empanada this entire time.
Dude, can we talk about during like the rain scene, that entire like battle sequence, the most unnecessarily like BA shot of King Shark ripping that guy in half?
Oh, with the
lightning striking in the background.
Num num.
That image of him ripping him in half. I'm like, that could be in like a comic book.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Just the lightning in the background, too, just felt so, like, it was so cool. For no reason whatsoever.
Hand.
So they split into two teams. One goes downstairs to find information out on Starro, and the other team goes up to, like, I forget what they're, what are they, what are they dropping bombs all over?
They're planting bombs, yes.
Okay.
So I will say the one thing I want to give credit to this movie for is that it jumps around, but it never feels like it jumps around. They do very well using that.
Very yeah.
What?
I said it's very fast-paced in a good way.
Yeah, but, like, when they jump around, you don't feel confused. It's like, well, we're showing you just a little bit of more exposition. We'll show you while they're doing this, you know, 8 minutes or 3 minutes earlier, you should get to see the other team doing their thing and why the bombs exploded.
I like how we got a good, you know, 10 minutes of one team and we didn't cut to the other one. And then we followed the other team for a straight 10 minutes. It's not like it jumped back and forth.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it was like, you know, filling in the gaps what was happening. Right on a freaking cliffhanger, too.
Oh, yeah. So we find out that Peacemaker was tasked with a different, which was to make sure that that information doesn't leave at all costs once they find out that the Americans were the one responsible for Starro.
He was supposed to destroy the flash drive or something like that.
Yeah. And so we get that really brutal, I think, action scene when the bombs go off and then Peacemaker and Rick Flag are both going for the device because Rick Flag wants to leak it to the world.
Can we talk about how dumb Peacemaker played that?
With what?
Instead of taking out Rick Flag, he literally could have just shot the hard drive.
Yeah, I mean, well, Rick Flag was trying to kill him.
Rick Flag was just trying to get the hard drive and protect himself. That was it. It was a don't touch me situation. If he would have just shot the hard drive, he would have been fine. Shot the hard
drive out of his hand?
I'm talking when it first drops.
I don't remember that. I just remember he has the hard drive in his hand and Peacemaker has the gun on him and then the thing explodes.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, Rick Flag dies.
The bombs explode first.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Well, yeah,
and then we see the other team.
Well, we get to
see why the bombs exploded so early, which is because Pokemon Man just wasn't working.
The bombs explode, and then we get the fight between them.
No, they explode, and then they cut the other team to show why they exploded.
No, they explode, we get the fight, and then he kills Rick Flag, and then he pulls the gun on Ratcatcher, and then we see 8 minutes earlier, right before he shoots.
Yeah. That's right.
Yep.
But even then, when he was fighting Ratcatcher for it, he could have shot it there.
Well, I mean, she saw him kill Rick Flag. That's why he was going to kill her.
Oh.
Because she was like, why are you going to kill me? And he said, because I'm thorough.
That's right.
Yeah, I love that action scene between the two of them. Sucks that Rick Flag died, but...
Yeah, it was a good scene, though. I was shocked that James...
Mortal Kombat X-ray vision type of stuff.
The X-ray moves, with the...
Yes, he is beating heart.
Yeah, which, you know, I mean, it was kind of self-defense, you know. Rick Flag was choking him out.
Yeah.
And so then, yeah, he chases Cleo for it because she has the thing, and then he's about to shoot her, and then we get 8 minutes earlier, which we see why the bombs go off early. Because Milton died.
Just Milton.
Milton? Who's Milton?
I thought he stayed in the truck. What was he going to do?
He stayed with us the whole time.
He was a really nice guy.
Yeah, I love how in that rain scene, you can see Milton, like, on the far right walking with him.
I was dying with that.
Yeah, I just like, Idris Elba, like, why? What was he gonna do?
He was gonna help them out, man. He's helping them out. He sacrificed his life.
Polka Dot Man accidentally lights the bomb with his polka dots, and then they all go off early. And then we have a really cool scene with the building falling apart.
Yeah, I was thinking, I was like, how are they going to get out of that? Like,
oh, and King Shark gets his little fishy friends.
Oh, yeah.
And then they try to eat
him. I thought King Shark was dead. Like, when he hit the ground.
Same.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, God. I was like, that's sad. But no, I guess, you know, sharks are groundproof and bullish.
I wish that sequence of him, like, you know, eating those. I guess it was just the one guy, too, after they were shooting at him.
Yeah,
like one of the generals or whatever. I wish that was a longer sequence because I wanted to see more like awesome King Shark, not jokey King Shark.
Oh, we forgot that Thinker gets killed by Starro.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Which probably explained that Starro has been experimented on by 30 years by Thinker, torturing him.
Yeah.
To weaponize him.
Mm-hmm.
Bloodsport falls off the building, and that's how he encounters Peacemaker, and that really cool
he
shot.
He just keeps going down each level.
Yeah. And we get the payoff to that joke at the beginning with the smaller bullets.
Yes.
Because his bullet goes through Peacemaker's and hits him in the neck, which we find out was non-lethal.
But we learned that it was Peacemaker who said smaller bullets.
Yeah, so maybe he learned from what Peacemaker said, I don't know.
Yeah. But I didn't want to point that out because of how it worked out in the end.
So Peacemaker gets hit in the neck, but we find out he survived.
Yeah.
Yeah. Starro escapes, and then we get the final action scene, which was great. Oh, yeah, it was great. I'm not forgetting.
They overthrow Amanda Waller in the little office area.
Yeah, that person who hit her with the club is so dead.
Oh, yeah, she's
ballsy as all get out.
Yeah. You know the blonde chick, the one that goes with the chubby dude at the end to get Peacemaker?
Yeah.
She overthrows Amanda Waller in the comics, so.
Who is she?
She's a Russian spy. That's all I remember.
That's cool.
Yeah, I don't know if they'll do that. That was obviously set up Peacemaker show, so we'll see. But yeah, that final action scene was great because it kind of gave me Avengers vibes with like Bloodsport like dealing out like jobs for everyone.
Oh yeah, when he was like finally becoming the leader.
Yeah, he was like, King Shark, that's Nom Nom, or Harley take the high ground, and Polka Dot Man, that's your mom.
Yeah, I love that.
But then Polka Dot Man dies.
Yeah, after he says, I'm finally a superhero.
Yeah. Squash.
So what else am I missing here?
I don't know. I like how they did the little starfishes attaching to people. That was cool.
Oh, you mean like it's supposed to be?
Yeah, it was very comic accurate how it stuck on everyone's face, and it was kind of creepy how they did it. I wish Starro got to talk more. That would have been cool.
I agree, but I don't remember him ever talking, so...
He himself doesn't talk. The little starfishes talk.
That's right. So then he was defeated by Harley Quinn going into his eyeball.
With the javelin and the rats.
Polka Dot Man burning his leg. And the rats being clawed by Ratcatcher, and poor Bloodsport being terrorized.
Yeah.
And before that, Polka Dot Man met his untimely end.
Gosh.
Well,
yeah.
I like how Bloodsport, like, it actually shows him, like, running out of equipment on his suit. Like, he had nothing else to...
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was cool.
That was a great scene.
His costume felt a little, like, bull crappy, but it still had, like, a set of rules to it.
Yeah. I mean, in the comics, yeah, like I said, how it works is, like, weapons just teleport to him, which is interesting.
Yeah.
In
the newer iterations, at least.
In the original one, too, that's how it worked. Lex Luthor gave him that. Luthor gave him that power.
Okay. I think it's just tech still, though.
It's not an actual power. It's, like, tech that teleports. Like, it's not like he has the power. It's not like it's an actual power. It's just a
cool
tech.
Cool power, though.
And then at the very end of the movie... It's, Bloodsport tells Amanda Waller, we either leak this to the world, or you let us walk free.
And she didn't blow their heads off.
Surprisingly.
Yeah. So they're all free now, which is great. You know, our final four members, I'm not going to count Peacemaker, because we find out he survives later, but it's Ratcatcher, King Shark, Harley, and Bloodsport.
Yes. So then, we have our first after-credit scene, which is Weasel still alive.
Coughs up the water at the beginning. We thought he drowned.
And then Peacemaker's still kicking it.
Yeah. Nice. Which obviously
for the show.
Yeah, it comes out in a few months.
So, now my question to you guys.
Yes.
Who would you want to see in the next movie? Just one character.
One character?
I have a couple.
We only get to choose one, because I have a few too. Because I know us, and we'll keep going until we can't.
I'll say Kite Man.
Hey, Asher?
Hold on. I was looking at a list of, like, villains and stuff.
Yeah?
And there was two that I saw. One would be pretty useless, but the other I thought was pretty cool. That I think would fit, like, a Suicide Squad type thing.
Yeah.
There's I think it's called Snowflame.
Yeah.
The supervillain that gets these, like, It's like super strength and pyrokinesis by snorting cocaine.
Yep.
Awesome. Either that or onomatopoeia.
I would like Catman.
Catman?
Yes, Thomas Blake.
Have you heard of onomatopoeia?
You mean the Green Arrow villain?
Yeah. One that has, like, no powers but just says onomatopoeias whenever something happens.
Yeah.
I feel like you could give him, like, onomatopoeia-based superpowers, though. That could be pretty neat.
I'd like to see Color Kid, too.
Color Kid?
Yeah, from the Legion of Superheroes. His power is just he can change the color of things.
Yeah, I just want to see a bunch of, like, obscure D-list villains. Like,
yeah.
More. Or Sportsmaster would be more, like, he's more of, like, a B-list, C-list, I guess, but...
Sportsmaster would be cool.
Sportsmaster would be cool to the squad. But yeah. I feel like he'd be more of a less expendable character.
So we're going to go back and forth. Well, no, he's literally a D-list. He's only in the Injustice Society.
I was going to say
Young Justin brought him up a few levels.
Yeah.
So we'll go back and forth. I'll start, and we'll create a 7-teamed Suicide Squad.
Okay.
So I'll start with the leader as Grifter.
Grifter. My God. I never even thought of
him. He'd be perfect for the squad.
I guess I've always seen Grifter as more of an anti-hero than a villain, but...
But they do anti-heroes, too.
Yeah, he's definitely more of an outlaw.
It's so surprising they haven't done Bronze Tiger. So surprising.
In the movies? I know.
Yeah.
So, number two, who you got, Harrison?
Probably.
I'm going to do Killer Frost.
Killer Frost?
Yeah.
Okay. So, Asher, number three.
Copperhead.
All right, so that's like our... I feel like that's our, like, core members, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Then I'm going to add to the list... Rainbow Raider.
Who's that?
He's a flash villain.
He can hypnotize you.
And change colors.
Yeah. He rides on a rainbow in the comics. I don't know if they do that, but...
Yeah. Oh, okay. I know what you're talking about now.
Harrison, who's your number five?
I want to say either Killer Moth or Condiment King. I can't decide.
I was thinking Killer Moth, too. Killer Moth would be cool.
Killer Moth.
Okay, Astro, number six.
Oof. I think I'm going to go with Snowflame.
And to cap it off, I want Clock King as their strategist.
Clock King? Nice. Do we have, like, a brew on that team or no?
Have a what?
Do we have, like, a brew on that team?
Yeah,
like
Copperhead.
Who?
Copperhead.
Copperhead's, like, the brew?
I mean, it's like the monster of the team.
Okay, yeah, I got that.
So, that is all for this episode today. Next week, we will be back with Marvel's What If? Titans premiere.
Yes.
And I'll talk a little about the Stargirl premiere.
Cool. Lots of premieres coming.
Yeah, and I got Brooklyn Nine-Nine coming back next week.
Yeah, it's that time of the year. Shows are coming back.
Yeah.
Nice.
And then, we'll see what news is ready for us.
We love talking about news. It's our thing.
So, other than that, stay geeky.
Stay geeky.
Let's go. Stay geeky.
See you next week.